Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Okay, podcasting time again. Oops. Cover the mic fell off. All right. Off to a good start. All right, my friend. Reggie, you ready to go? Good, good. What do you say we get into a little podcast action? All right? Cool. You in a good mood? Good mood today? I'm in a good mood. I guess that's somewhat important since I'm the guy talking. Hey, but you're just as important. You got to hit that button. You know, hey, I could be talking all I want. If you don't hit record, I'm talking to myself. I might still be talking to myself, but anyway, are you ready to go, my friend? All right, then let's do this thing. Three S's, star, smile, strong. Get ready. Here we go. Put it in the book. Episode 505. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And of course, it's important to listen, but I would put getting out there and telling your friends right up there as a close second. So get out there, tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Of course, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this specific podcast, and lo and behold, you will find podcast after podcast after podcast that we've done in the past. So if you like what you hear, you might want to check back at some reruns. Maybe there's a few that you've missed. You don't know. I mean, they don't go all the way back to when we started. Because as you know, we're now in our 10th year. We haven't hit the official date yet. It's in May, but we're getting there week by week, and we've already surpassed the 500 mark. So we've got a lot of history. So go tap into it, whether you've heard it before or you've never heard it before. Go back there and give a listen. It's always good to know where we've been so you know where we're going. And right now, where we're going is episode 505. 505, not 505. You don't mix numbers and letters. O is a number. Yes, it may look like a zero, but it isn't. It's an O. You don't say LMN0P, do you? No, you say LMNOP. So then why do you say 505? You never thought of that, did you? Right. Well, that's my job. I'm here to point these little verbal indiscretions out. They drive me crazy. Why do we say 5:05? What time is it? Oh, it's 5:05. No, it's not 5:05. It's not A B C D E F G H I J K L M N 0 P. That's not the way it works. Keep letters with letters and numbers with numbers. 505 LMNOP. And for some reason, we have no problems mixing and matching the O and the zero, but we don't mix and match the zero with the O. For instance, my name, my last name is Toronto, T U R A N O. I don't just casually, if I feel like it, say, how do I spell my name? T-U-R-A-N-0. No. That's a letter. And one's a number. Use the letter when you're spelling. Use the number when you're using numbers. That's simple. Drives me crazy. I know. I'm a little OCD, I guess. I don't know what I am. You know what I am? I'm a stickler for doing things right. No, I don't have any compulsions.
I don't have any deep-rooted, wow, you're anal. You're, no. I'm just trying to be correct. Keep numbers with numbers and letters with letters. It's that simple. Then we all know what you're talking about. Whew, yeah, but Jim, we know what we're talking about. It doesn't matter. Let's do it correctly. Not, oh, you know what I mean. God, I hate that. You know what I mean. Oh, no, I don't know what you mean. If you have to say you know what I mean, it means you're not doing a good job explaining what you mean. If you say what you mean, if you explain it well, you don't need to have the caveat, well, you know what I mean. No, say it correctly, and then you don't need to say you know what I mean, which, of course, is another horrible verbal acne. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Why do we have to say that? If you say it right, if you say it correctly, if you describe it correctly, you don't need to give that caveat, well, you know what I mean. Yes, I would know what you mean if you said it correctly and clearly. Okay, that's my little lesson for today. I actually need your help today. I'm always here getting on a soapbox and telling you what I think is the right way to do things. But I guess if we didn't do that, I wouldn't have a podcast, right? That's part of my arrogance and my narcissism is what kind of drives this whole thing. I actually need your help here, figuratively and literally. If you may recall in last week's podcast, once again, this is why I'm saying you should listen to previous podcasts. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast, you'll still be okay. I'm going to make it so that it's not dependent on you having heard last week's podcast in order to understand this podcast. In other words, I'm going to talk about it clearly. Wow, what a concept. I'm not going to say you know what I mean. see how it all comes around? No, in the process of speaking and doing last week's podcast, as I said, you know, I joke quite often how these podcasts are well scripted. In fact, I have no paper in front of me whatsoever. I never do. If you ever hear me rustling a paper, it's just a blank page. I do always have some paper nearby to do that little radio theater of the mind. But there's no script. Trust me. Could you imagine what the script would look like? It wouldn't have much cohesion, that's for sure. But if you heard me last week, as I was I can't even remember how I got on the topic of this. I mean, I was talking about the Bears, and I got into phone numbers, I don't even know how I got into first talking about how we memorize phone numbers and how we don't memorize phone numbers anymore. And when I got into that, something struck me because something had happened to me just previous, like 2 or 3 days before that, and it related to this idea of not knowing people's phone numbers. So here I was in the midst of a podcast going off on one of my infamous detours before I get down to the main road of what I wanted to talk about. I'm not sure how I even got onto the subject of phone numbers and how in today's world we don't even really have to know anybody's phone number because everything is in our cell phone, our smartphone. We're basically carrying around our phone books in our phones, in our pockets at all times. And how in my day, and I know it makes me sound like 150 years old, but hey, you know, I'm at least 100. at least I sound like it with some of the things I refer to or I talk about. But how in the past, when we didn't have these phones literally almost attached to us, they didn't have this storage space, we needed to memorize quite a few phone numbers. have them in our memory, in our quick, easy to access, short-term memory. Boom. You needed to know at least, I would say you had to at least know, you know, depending on the size of your family or whatever, but at the very least, you had to know at least three or four or five numbers completely that you needed to get by, your home numbers, your if your parents perhaps worked, their phone numbers, if you had brothers or sisters, you know, your school, something like that. But, you know, family members, grandparents, whatever it is. But I would say, on average, even besides these four or five or six or whatever it might be, phone numbers that you really needed to know because you were out there in the real world without even access to a phone. I know that sounds crazy. If you watch old TV shows from the 70s and even 80s, you will see that there is this thing called a public payphone, where we actually had to ask people, is there a phone around? Or we had to go into a phone booth and pay for a call and actually go hunt and find one. I know it sounds like the Stone Age. And comparatively, it really was the Stone Age. But it wasn't all that long ago. I would say pretty much probably in the last 10 or 15 years, the idea of a payphone, or at least, I mean, now there's one. They're there for either nostalgic value or desperation value. But I would say probably, you figure the smartphone was introduced in 2007. I'm not going to say 2007. I almost broke my own rule after screaming about it. I almost broke my own rule. Did you hear me here? Did you hear me stop and think, oh, wait a minute. I can't say 2007. I got to say 27. I know it sounds weird. I know, or 2007. That sounds even crazier. For some reason, 2007 sounds better, but I just went on a rant. I just got on a soapbox about keeping numbers with numbers and letters and letters. Did you hear me stop there? But anyway, I would say probably in the early 2000s is when the public phones and the payphones started to slowly go away as the smartphone really took over. I mean, we had cell phones, we had flip phones, but there were still payphones around. It wasn't until, I would say, maybe 2010. See how I got away from that? I went to the 10. I got away from the aughts. The aughts are always problems. I would say maybe 2010, when all of a sudden it became apparent that the smartphones or the cell phones or overall these mobile phones were going to take over. And slowly but surely in public places, you saw public phones, you know, there used to be rows. I mean, right now you go to an airport. I mean, there used to be rows of payphones all over the terminals, near bathrooms, near stairs, escalators. I remember at O'Hare Airport, you would go down the down escalator to get to the baggage claim, and there were at least five or six phones on each side of the escalators by the bathrooms. At least I would think there has to be at least 8 to 10 phones there. And there were phones everywhere because people needed to call and we weren't carrying them around. And slowly, I'm sure that both the phone companies as well as I'm sure the places that, like, say, the airport was paying for those phones, for using them. And they're like, hey, why are we paying this if nobody's using them? And so now payphones have, I think, those have become like historical relics. There might be one there that, and if it's on the wall near a bathroom in a restaurant in the back, it probably doesn't work anymore. Because who has change? We don't even have change anymore. I mean, if you go to a grocery store or someplace or a convenience store and you give people even dollars, You give them paper money, they don't know what to do. And if you give them change, wow. I mean, you know, I still have, I think a lot of people, this is, once again, I'm showing my age, I guess, but in my car, in my glove box, you know, the one, not the glove compartment, but, you know, like the hand rest that now has a little compartment to keep things. I'm a creature of habit. I still have a cup with change in it. Now, granted, before that used to be a useful thing, almost a needed thing, because we used to have toll booths. Now we still have toll booths, but now we have, you know, the online pass, the quick pass, whatever that thing is called. So nobody really they still have toll booths where they have people manning them, but maybe one. There used to be a line of them, but obviously, once again, I'm showing my age, but, you know, there used to be toll booths that actually had baskets, and you would throw the change into the toll booth because the tolls were cheap. The tolls were 15 cents, 20 cents, maybe a quarter, maybe 35 cents. Then suddenly they started to go up to 60 cents. And then suddenly they went up to a dollar. Then suddenly you could pay, you know, you would get this little, easy pass. And that was it. We still pay tolls. We just have no idea we're paying them. We just zip through there now. There used to be long lines at toll booths. There used to be people sitting there trying to find their change. And so most cars, most people had some kind of change somewhere nearby, near the steering wheel. If you didn't smoke, you put change in your ashtray. This was before the cup holder. I mean, now most cars have cup holders, right? Or places to put your cell phone. But they all didn't have that before. Cup holders, I know. It sounds like I grew up in the Stone Age. I guess I did. Cars did not come with cup holders until like the 90s. I have news for you. If you had change, you put it in your ashtray or in your glove compartment. A lot of cars didn't even have the armrests. And if they did, they didn't have a compartment. People used to put change everywhere. Now we don't even have change, but I do. I keep it in my little cup, just like I always have, although now it's not out. It's not visible. It's in the armrest thing. But there's all my change. And so if I go to a drive-thru, and at times if I go, like, say, to a pharmacy, or even sometimes, you know, for a fast food thing or something, or wherever drive-thru that I have to pay, depending on the amount. You know, I mean, if it's a high amount, of course, in today's cashless world, many restaurants and don't even take cash anymore. For a reason. Why? Because I think that the people that are, you know, the younger people today, they're not even used to handling cash. They're certainly not used to giving out change at all. That's a lost art. I was a cashier in high school, and so this is, you know, 35, 40 years ago. I used to have to make change. People rarely, I mean, this, once again, it goes to show you how behaviorally we have changed in not that long a time. You say, well, geez, Jim, 40 years is a long time. Yeah, it is a long time, but it really isn't in a timeline of history. 40 years is nothing. And 40 years ago, people rarely even used credit cards. I know that sounds crazy, but credit cards were like the third monetary use implement or format, whatever you want to call it. It was cash, check, and then credit card. And people will remember back, you know, 40 years ago, certainly in the 70s and even into the 80s. I mean, to use a credit card, they had to bring out this this thing that was that had carbon paper, and you put the card in there, and you had this big heavy hulking steel metal thing, and you put the card in, and you had this carbon papered receipt, and then you push this lever that pressed the carbon paper against the credit card. That's why credit cards used to have raised numbers. Think about that. Credit cards today are flat. The numbers are written on them. In fact, I had to get a new credit card, not because it was expiring anytime soon, but I guess I swiped it so much, or the way it sat in my wallet or whatever, is that literally the printed numbers on the back disappeared. They got worn off. And so I would give my credit card and they would go, well, what's the number? The number was gone. You know, I had to verbally give it to them and they still looked at me like I was crazy. So I had to call in for a new credit card just because I guess I think I said it was damaged. But I had to get a new one, not because of anything else except that the writing on it disappeared. But the old credit cards used to have raised letters. It wasn't that they were Braille. It wasn't so if you were blind, you could read it. It was to put into this contraption that you used when you used your credit card. It would imprint it by running over this, you know, with the raised letters. You put the card in the bottom of this contraption. Then you put the carbon papered receipt with several copies, and then you ran this thing over it. It's almost like silk screening. And the raised letters were then, you know, because of this thing running over it with the carbon paper, it made a copy. It made like it was like an instant copy machine. They didn't have these little wireless things that spit out receipts that when you would come to the table. That's craziness. This was still the prehistoric times. But that's why credit cards had raised letters. If you tell people, even today, I'm sure people in their teens or 20s and said, you know, credit cards used to have raised numbers and raised letters with your names. They would say, what are you talking about? Why? For what? Now there is smooth as can be. And they have that little microchip. So just think that whole change. But credit cards used to be like the third used things. People did not use credit cards because of the whole idea that there was interest if you didn't pay it off. At least if you used, your check, it was coming out of your existing balance or obviously cash. But now credit cards, you know, I mean, how many times do you go to restaurants, especially, some kind of upscale kind of fast food places? We are cashless. They're forcing people to go into debt if you don't pay your credit cards off every month. But what a change. And speaking of change, like I said, I have a change cup in my armrest compartment. And I will give change out to if it's, say it's like, you know, $5.64, I'll pull out my wallet and give $5 change and get the 64 cents out. And I put it in that little thing there, and, you know, like, at the Walgreens or wherever, they have this little shelf that comes out, you put in there, and I could see in the person behind the glass, their eyes start to glass over like, oh God, he's giving me change. How old is this guy? Why does he have change in his car? And B, why is he giving it to me? Because I don't know what to do with it. And I should laugh and I should talk because, you know, I'm acting here like I'm trying to be like, you know, oh, you know, I'm old school. But, you know, I'm just as bad. I would say in the last year, at least four times, I know for sure at least two, and I think it was even more. And I had to go back and trace my steps. I went to the pharmacy, and I went to the drive-thru, and I gave them dollar, you know, bills, you know, 20 or something. And so, and I probably gave them the exact change so I could just get the paper money back. Because I, you know, I mean, think about this too. I was just, we were just doing some cleaning around the house. And we would have this big change jug. We still do. But it just doesn't get as much work as it used to have. We have this jug o' change, right? Everybody had one of these, right? Some kind of a big jar that you'd get change at the end of the day, you know, and you'd throw it into this jar with pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, you know. And then, you know, you'd take that, and then after a while, this jar or this jug, whatever you put it in, would actually begin to accumulate money. And they still have these machines. You can go to the bank, or they still have some of these machines at grocery stores near the checkout lines where you can, you know, dump your change in and get real money, right? Paper money, which is scarce today. I mean, now that they're stopped making pennies, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with these change machines? It's going to be a while, don't get me wrong. But most people had the jar or the jug o' change filled with pennies and nickels and dimes. You know, I think you usually would keep the quarters because that could make a dollar pretty quick. But, you know, 100 pennies, how long does that take? And then after a while, you see this thing fill up. And, you know, a lot of times you take it to the, as I said, your local bank or your local grocery store. I'm sure people still do this. It might be a lot more scarce just because we don't get much change back anymore. How much change are we dealing with? We're so, you know, paperless and cashless today. So every so often you do get some change. And so we still have this jug o' change, but I haven't gone to get it converted in years. And sometimes, you know, you go with your jug o' change and you'd put it in that machine and you'd get, you know, $5, $10, $15, sometimes even $20, depending on how big your jug o' change was and what kind of denominations. If it was all pennies, you might not get that much, but a lot of times you had nickels and dimes thrown in there, maybe some quarters, you know. And then the change machines got more sophisticated and would you know, separate them all. So sometimes you go, hey, here's a quick sawbuck. I got an easy sawbuck. My dad used to always say sawbuck and double sawbuck and fin, sawbuck and double sawbuck. Now everybody talks about Benjis, you know, with the $100 bills, but a sawbuck for some reason was $10. I don't know. A fin was $5. I guess you could figure that out. A fin, five, fin, it's kind of close. I don't know why the heck they call it a sawbuck, but a sawbuck was $10, and then a $20 bill or $20 was a double sawbuck. And I don't know why, but, you know, if you ever watch old movies and you say, hey, you know, two bits, shave and a haircut, two bits. For some reason, two bits was 25 cents. So I don't understand why two bits was 25 cents. Because that means one bit was 12 and a half cents. Well, how do you get a half a cent? So I'm not sure who devised the two bits, but two bits was 25 cents for some reason. I never understood that. But a fin was $5, a sawbuck was 10, and a double sawbuck was 20. So sometimes if you turned in your change, if you waited long enough and you accumulated enough, you can go to the grocery store or the bank and you know, gave them your jug o' change, and you could come home with a sawbuck. Or a fin, or a double sawbuck. Not bad. That's, you know, it would feel like free money. Ooh, I got an extra 20 here. Burning a hole in my pocket. I didn't have it. I mean, I always had it. I just never had it. It's been sitting in my jug o' change, acting like it wasn't money. Now, I went to the grocery store to the change machine, or I went to the bank, and suddenly that jug o' change turned into real money. But yeah, we hardly, and so to get back to my story, so I went to the pharmacy, to the drive-thru, and I gave the person a double sawbuck. Okay, now you know what that means, so I can talk in slang now with you. So from now on, I'm never going to say $20 bill anymore. On the podcast, if you hear me say double sawbuck, you know what I'm talking about. It's $20. And if I say sawbuck, I'm not going to say 10. If I ever have to make any reference to a 5, to a 10, or to a 20, just so you know. And this is why this is important, that you should listen to old podcasts, because moving forward now, I am going to get moving away from the 5, 10, and 20 designation, and I'm going to go back to old school vintage lingo. So it's Finn for $5, 10 sawbuck, double sawbuck, $20. So just so you know. So I went to the Walgreens and I gave them a double sawbuck. And it was probably, I don't know, maybe $10 or $11 was my bill. And, you know, I always feel, I mean, I know today we use credit cards like it's nothing. But I still feel weird. To me, you know, for me, it's kind of like a rule. If I have the money, if my tab in a place takes cash, if my tab for whatever it is, if I go to a grocery store, if I go to a drive-thru, if I go to a convenience store, whatever it is, if my tab is less than 20, well, I shouldn't say that. If my I think so. I mean, it depends, you know, $20. But I would say if you have cash in your pockets, to me, if you put $10 on your credit card, that's weird. That's odd. Come on, just pull the sawbuck out. If your tab is like even a double sawbuck or cheaper, or even a sawbuck, if it's a fin, you definitely should not be using your credit card. I just think that's weird to charge something that costs, you know, a fin. I don't like that. So I will take out my wallet and pay for that. I think a good rule, if you want to go with a rule, if it's below a double sawbuck, and notice now, I'm not using the 10, 20, and 5 denomination. I've already begun to use that now. If you caught on to that, I'm not using 20, 10s, and 5s. I'm saying double sawbuck, sawbuck, and fin. If it's under a double sawbuck, I don't think you should charge that on your credit card. Like, you know, $12. It's just, it seems too insignificant. Maybe I'm showing my age. Before, for a credit card, you used your credit card only in the most extreme circumstances, and if it was, you know, a pretty substantial amount, $40, $50, $100, how many people are carrying that much money? Okay, $100. I mean, some people do still, but like I said, in today's world, with such a cashless world, I don't even know if anybody even carries that much money anymore. But on there, you know, because we used the credit card, even not out of necessity, but out of preference, but out of necessity. Some places will not take cash. You need the credit card or you're dead. But I always feel weird. So I'm pretty sure that my bill was like under a double sawbuck. It's like $12 maybe. So what they'll do a lot of times, which is a good idea because it's very inconvenient. You know, you put your money in that drive-through shelf that they have. At least they do this at my pharmacy. This metal shelf comes out of the wall, and I mean most fast food restaurants, you still hand them, you know, the money to the person behind there, but for some reason, I don't know, just because of, I don't know, the money involved or dispensing drugs. I don't know why, but most pharmacies and like banks, when they have those drive-throughs, when there's someone behind the thing, there's always like bulletproof glass, and there are these shelves that you put, you know, your money in or your documents, whatever you need, and that's the way you kind of, you know, do your transaction. So I will throw my, you know, like I said, a lot of times I will put the exact change in there. So I'll put my $4.54 into the metal thing. I try not to have the change splatter everywhere, but sometimes you can't help it. And I could just see the person behind the window, you know, they're looking at me like, oh God, here's another old person with their change. Why do they have change? Well, so here's the thing. So I didn't do it. I gave the person a double sawbuck, and I'm going to, and maybe my, I gave the exact change so I could at least just get, you know, exact change and dollar bills back. So I don't need to add to my cup. Because, you know, you're not using change that much. I'm trying to get rid of my change. I'm not trying to accumulate it anymore, unfortunately. I still have my big, you know, jug of change, but hardly anything in it at all. Yeah, I mean, it used to weigh a lot. Now it blows away with the wind. So here's the thing. What they will do, which is a nice thing, is that they will put your change, even if it's coins, but certainly if it's dollars and both, they'll put them in this, at least at my pharmacy, they'll put it in this little white, you know, kind of money envelope along with your prescription. And they'll tell you, you know, the change is in the envelope. Okay, thank you. At least it makes the transition easier. I don't have to pick through all that. What if the money blows away, blah, blah, blah. So it's a nice little thing. They have your change in this envelope. And they usually staple it to the bag that you have your prescription on, and off you go. So it works out nice. It's a convenient thing. It's a nice thing to do. Unless, of course, you forget that you had change. I mean, a lot of times you might go to the grocery or to the pharmacy or something like that as your last stop before you go home. Okay, but sometimes I go first. I'll go, I don't live far from a pharmacy, and so I'll look at the line, and if the drive-through line, there's no one in it, boom, I'll go there first. I won't wait till I come home. For some reason, I always wait. Oh, and on the way home, because it's usually close to home, and then I'll go to the drugstore. But if it's, I'll actually drive past there because it's close enough. Let me see if there's a line. If there's four or five cars, then I'll wait maybe later. But if there's nobody there, one or two cars, I'll go first. Well, so then what do I do? I get my little bag of pills with my envelope filled with my change, and I don't want to keep that out visible. So what will I do? Of course, I will put it in the glove compartment. Well, if I've got two or three errands to run, I may forgot because I went first. I didn't go last. If I go last, yeah, I'm in the car. I'll throw the prescription in the seat next to me, and it'll be there. It'll be visual. And as I'm leaving, I get my keys, and I look, and there's my other stuff on the seat, and off I go. But if I'm going to be driving around two or three more stops, and I've already picked up my prescription pills first, I'm going to put those in the glove compartment. Well, you know, how often do you even go in your glove compartment anymore? I mean, the glove compartment is kind of antiquated because you do have this hand rest compartment now, this armrest compartment. Why do you need the glove compartment? You know, for the owner's manual? I mean, the one that's closer to you is the one now is the one that is most convenient right by your arm. Once again, 40 years ago, even 30 years ago, these armrest compartments didn't exist. That's where your gears were. There was no arm. And if there was an armrest, it didn't open. That's a relative, I mean, new. I mean, 35 years, I guess, is new, right? But, yeah, the glove compartment, I'm not even sure why we have those anymore. Why do we need it? Basically for your owner's manual. Because the armrest compartment is much more convenient and it's big. The glove compartments now I mean, your dashboard is so small because it's basically a screen now, right? For the most part, that's your dashboard. It's like a 60-inch screen. So I don't even know why they make glove compartments anymore. But they still do. I guess it's just, well, let's throw a glove compartment in there. We got to put somewhere for the owner's manual. Somewhere to put your registration, I guess. But you could put that in that other armrest compartment. Anyway, I can't even say long story short because I've already passed that threshold. And I still haven't talked about my main thing today. I may actually have to, if I continue with this little rant, which I had no idea I was going to do, as I look at the clock here, we'll see, but I might, what I wanted to talk about, I might have to push that over till next week. Not that it matters, but I told you, there's no script here, folks. This is completely off the top of my head. This is off the cuff, if you hadn't noticed by now. Certainly, if you've been listening for 500 episodes, you know. But if you're new to the game, just so you know, this is kind of par for the course. I don't even know how I'm going to get back to my original idea, if I even do. But I'm on this one, and it's interesting, and I'm having fun, so let's go with it. So, I take the prescriptions if I go first on my errands. If I go to get my prescription first, I will put it in the glove compartment. So this way it's not, visible. You don't want anybody breaking into the car and all that whole thing. Well, then, if you're out for an hour or so running errands, hour and a half, you forget that the first stop you made was at the pharmacy. And so a lot of times when I'm done, if I go grocery shopping or I stop some couple, three other places and I bought some things or I just made some stops, if I have some stuff in the, in the back near the trunk, even though it's not a trunk, really, if you have an SUV, I don't know what they call that back area. It's not a trunk, really, What do they call the back of an SUV? When you lift up the back end, what is that space called? I mean, that's not a trunk, is it? I don't think that's a trunk. I think a trunk, it goes down. When you open up your SUV, the space there is empty, is level. Is that a loading area? I don't know. I would not call that a trunk. I'll have to look at my manual. I'll have to go. I'll have to go into my glove compartment and get out my manual and see what they call that. See, it all comes around. It all ties in. Even though I have no idea what I'm talking about here. But I will forget that I went to the pharmacy first. So a lot of times I'll come in, if I went to the grocery store and made a couple more stops, I'll take stuff out of the loading area. I don't know what that's called. It's not a trunk. It shouldn't be called a trunk, if it is, because it's not a trunk. A trunk has depth. That's the way I look at it. A car trunk has depth. The back of an SUV does not have depth. I mean, yes, and a lot of them, it has a compartment that you can lift, but most of the times, it's flat. It's even. You're not going down into it. You're not reaching down. You're reaching across when you open up the back hatch of your SUV, right? So that's not a trunk. It better not be called a trunk. Zeros are not O's, and it better not be called a trunk. But I digress, per usual. So I will forget, and I will go into the house. I'll bring in the groceries or whatever, and then I'll go, oh. I'm already in the house, got the coat off. I'm kind of, putting the stuff away. Oh, now I got to go back out. I forgot the stuff in the glove compartment. Or if I do remember it, maybe it is the last stop I made is the pharmacy. But, the problem is, as convenient and nice as the money envelope, the change envelope is, that they will give you, at least at the pharmacy drive-thru that I go to, if you give them the double sawbuck and you're supposed to get change, either paper money or coins, they will put it in this envelope. The problem is that everything is white. The bag is white and the envelope is white. So if they staple the change envelope to your bag of prescription of your drugs, yes, it's convenient. They stapled it. It's all together, but it's all the same color. And so it's easily camouflaged. And if you're not used to getting change, because a lot of times, especially if you're going to buy prescriptions, they're more than a double sawbuck, depending on how many you buy. And so you're used to using your credit card. So then maybe on the off chance that you do use your change, if it's below the double sawbuck rule, and once again, I don't make up these rules, but I do need to enforce them, okay? The double sawbuck rule is really not my rule, right? I mean, we all know that. At any drive-thru, you shouldn't charge anything below on your credit card below $20. I mean, I didn't make up that rule, right? I mean, we all know this rule. It's an accepted rule. I have to live by it. I have to enforce it. But these are not my rules. I mean, we all know those are just common rules. But so the problem is that the envelope is the same color as the bag, and it's stapled to the bag. So once again, you've got other things going in your head. You got to go get the other stuff that's in your loading area in the back of your SUV. It's not a trunk, and you just grab the bag with your prescription in it. All right, so now you come home, you get in the house, you've got your groceries, you've got your little prescription bag. So what I would do is I throw the prescription bag on one of the counters, keep that away from the food, and then I will put it on either a kitchen table or the other counters, and I will begin to unload. And then when I'm done with the groceries, then I'll go and I'll start to open my prescription, bag up. Well, a lot of times that's the last thing you do. And I just tear the prescription bag, pull out the bottle of pills, and then throw that all out. I don't keep the receipts. I used to, but then you got 9 million years of receipts, unless you need to keep it for some reason. So I just tear the bag and throw it out. At least two times, I know for sure, in the last calendar year of 2025, and it might even be three or four now that I think about it, but I know twice for sure because I had to dig through the garbage outside in the garage, not even in the house. So I knew that I used a double sawbuck at the pharmacy, and I knew that I got change. I probably got at least $6 or $7 worth of change. So now I went somewhere else, and it was, once again, I went somewhere, and it was below the double sawbuck rule. So I used paper money. Or at least I was going to use paper money. Because in my mind, I have paper money, because this was even below a sawbuck. And I was like, oh, well, wait a minute. I just got change from Walgreens a couple of days ago. So, yeah, I'll do that. So I go into my wallet and I look, and I don't have like the $6 or $7 or $8 of change that I knew that I had, because I went to the store and I got my change. So where's my change? It should. I remember I used my double sawbuck, and I should have $6 or $7 or $8 worth of change back, but somehow it didn't get into my wallet. So now, of course, now I've got a mystery. Now I've got to play Columbo here, and Google that. And so I'm like, well, where the heck is this $8? Is $6 or $7 $8? Where is it? So now I'm retracing my steps, and I go, oh, I must have thrown it out. Now, thankfully, this was in between garbage week. Our garbage comes in on Mondays. So thankfully, this wasn't like on a day where I threw it out on a Saturday, and then I threw the garbage out on a Monday, and they came and picked it up. Thankfully, this was in between. So now I'm like, oh, I probably threw it out. So first I checked the garbage in our house. Have you ever done that? Boy, is that, I mean, you know, you always hear about like reporters going through celebrities' garbage to find things. I mean, you can really, it's not, you know, I could see why they do this. I mean, yeah, it's kind of a horrible thing to do. But if you're looking for information on somebody, wow. Going through somebody's garbage, you could see what they eat, what they do, what they read. It's amazing how much of our lives is defined not by what we keep, but what we throw away. I mean, I have a shredder. I shred a lot of things for this exact reason, because who knows if a garbage bag opens somewhere along the line, hey, who knows what information you might be giving out. So I have a shredder and I shred a lot of things, but my gosh, if you go through a garbage can, I mean, you can, your garbage, my God, you could see your last 4 or 5 days, 3 or 4 days right there. How crazy is that? Like I said, you may have thrown out some magazines, or you may have thrown out, some boxes, and you may have thrown out some mail, you know, junk mail, and you may have thrown out, you know, oh, okay, I had a granola bar, or I had a soup can, or you could see what you ate, what you read, what you got, you know, what packages. I mean, it's really hilarious. You could define your last couple of days by just looking at your garbage. As long as it's not gross, you know, as long as you didn't throw out too many eggs, going through the garbage is not fun when there is, liquidy stuff mixed in with all the paper. Then it's not fun. And boy, can garbage smell. It's not so bad in the winter, but boy, in the summer, yeah, you got to throw that garbage out a little quicker than you do in the winter because, smells are not good. I always try to wash out things just because, you know, if you're going to have garbage sitting around the house, it's going to smell after a couple of days. I usually throw my garbage out like every 2 or 3 days, put it out in the garage, and then they come and pick it up, you know, once a week. Just for that reason. Not only does the bag fill up, but the smell factor. So if you have a lot of dry goods in your garbage, it's not that bad. You know, like I said, boxes, wrappers. I don't mean like Ice Cube or Eminem. No, I mean like rappers with a W. WRAPPERS. wrappers, cans, pop cans, water bottles, whatever you have in there. If it's mostly dryish, going through your garbage isn't that bad. But boy, if you have to go through your garbage and you've got a lot of foodstuffs that are, that either smell or, like I said, the egg thing, you throw your eggs in there. After you break your eggs, there's always that little gelatinous stuff there. Then the egg, the shell is broken, everything like that. So anyway, I'm like, where is this $7 or $8 that I know I have? Well, first let's retrace my steps. So I go into the garbage bag, and sure enough, it was a somewhat moist garbage day. It wasn't a lot of dry things. I mean, there was the usual paper goods in the garbage, but there was a good share of liquidy stuff, so it wasn't fun, put it that way. But hey, man, there's $8 in here. There's U.S. currency. I'm digging through this. I got to find this. You know, I got the 30-gallon, hefty bag with the Febreze smell. Not all the time. Most of the time, I don't know, I always get the Febreze smelly ones. Whatever's on sale, but I do get, I like to get the 30-gallon black Hefty. Hefty bags. So I'm going through this, and I'm looking through, because I mean, at least what's good about the prescription bag is that it's somewhat identifiable. Amongst all the paper towels, the used paper towels, and the paper goods that you throw out, and the cardboard boxes, and whatever else you're throwing out, you could find this bag. It's relatively unique in its shape with the staple and everything. It's got the little logo on it. Even though it's white, it might blend in with everything. You could probably, when you dig around, you could find it easily. So I go through the bag in the garbage bag in the house, and I went through it fairly, individuals almost pulling everything out. I didn't put it on the floor, but I was being very careful to make sure, because I'm trying to find money here, right? So it's not in there. So now, of course, I got to go outside. And I can't remember what day it was for both of these, at least, if not two or three times, if not four. But I remember I've got in the garage where I've got the other garage, the other garbage containers now that I will put out when the garbage men come. And so now I got to dig through that. Now, as I said, the last time I did it, it was summer, so it wasn't pleasant. The smell wasn't that good, and there was still a lot of liquidy stuff. Not that we eat a lot of eggs. I don't know why. I don't know what all the liquid was, but for whatever, it wasn't as dry goods as I had hoped. But I went through that bag three times. I'm like, it has to be in this bag. There's no other place. And so I got so frustrated, I literally now, in the garage, I took everything out of the bag and laid it out. And then, and only then, was I able to find the prescription bag with the change envelope nicely stapled to it. Even though the money was a little moist, it wasn't wet, but something stained the envelope. So I had to let it dry for a day or so, let the money dry. It wasn't wet, but it wasn't dry. Let's say this was not a fun thing, but it's like $7 or $8. And who wants to, I mean, I'm not throwing money away here. And so that's the downside, is that, you don't even remember now when you have change, because it's such an oddity to get that change. But as I said, I will keep that that little cup in my car and use the change. Now, it's interesting. As I said, we went through this. My big jug of change has very little change in it, and I would have to say that most likely my little cup right now that's in the car with the change in it is beginning to go down now, because I keep using it. And I think that if I transferred the change in my jug-o change and put it in my cup-o change that's in my car, I don't know if I would ever need to have my jug-o change anymore. Because that jug of change has been sitting there for several years, and I've been slowly using it in my cup of change. But, you get change so infrequently, and for the most part, when you get it, if you do use, dollar bills or change at drive-thrus and things like that, then most likely, you've got the change. Immediately, what I will do is put it in my cup-o change in the car. So it's no longer even getting into my pockets to get into the house. It's basically staying in the car in the cupo change. It used to get into, you know, you used to have enough change that you'd have it in your coat pockets or you'd have it in your pants pockets if you got it at various places. But now getting change is so rare that why would you be carrying it around with you? So here's another thing that I used to have all the time that I might not even use anymore. My jug o' change. That might go by the wayside. I have my cup o' change, but I really don't have change in my pockets that I bring into the house anymore. So, wow, that was such a normal thing, you know, to have change and how you dealt with it. And now we have just, I mean, I'm sure if you're in your 20s or your teens or even your 30s, you're like, what are you even talking about? I don't even know if you're listening to this, if you're that young, but but yeah, the whole usage of change is completely, I would think in the next 20 or 30 years, there won't even be many coins around. I mean, we really think about how much do you really touch change anymore? You use change for tolls. You don't use change for tolls anymore. You use change when you went to some kind of a store. Most places don't even take change, don't even take cash. Or if so, we've become so accustomed, it's so simple. I mean, wow, technology has, as I said, the credit card used to be the third used form of currency. A, because people didn't want to run up a bill because there's interest involved, which most people seem to have forgotten today. Or it was kind of a pain because they would pull out this giant contraption that I described earlier. But today, with most of our society being cashless and places making a point to say, we don't take cash. Now, I mean, my gosh, how simple is it? As I say before, just be careful always using that credit card, because if you pay it off every month, that's fine. Then that's the money you're using, the money you have. That's great. But if you don't pay off your credit cards every month, you know, that's scary. You know, in society, we're actually putting people into debt. And somehow we're accepting that. I don't even know if that's legal, to be honest with you, for them to say we don't take cash. I mean, I would think if I have legal currency, regardless of what form it is, I think you have to take it. But I guess if somebody puts a little sign up next to a register, we just listen to it, whether it's legal or not. I really don't think it's legal. I think that if push came to shove and you wanted to really go to the mat on this, I don't think a store has the right to refuse paper currency. I think if there's a transaction involving currency, I think any kind of currency that I have should be legally accepted by the proprietor or the owner of the business. I don't think just putting up a sign that says we don't take cash is enough. But in today's world, it's simpler, it's easy, we're used to doing it. Heck, we don't even use credit cards anymore. Half the time we're charging everything on our apps. We don't even know what we're doing. I mean, what about that, you know, some of those banking apps? They tell you, hey, you know, join our app and we could tell you all the subscriptions that you have that you don't even know that you've been paying monthly fees. You don't even know what you're paying. I think that Rocket Mortgage or something. You don't even know what you're paying. That's how oblivious we've become. That's how much we've given in to convenience Because my gosh, to use your credit card today, literally a baby can charge something on a credit card, right? I mean, if you have a baby or a grandchild or you have a cousin or whatever, the next time you go to a store and you're going to pay, I would say if the baby is at least, I don't even know, maybe the baby's a year old. I would say if the baby's between 1 and 2 years old or older, but even a baby of like 1 or 2, I bet you if you put the credit card in the baby's hand and you know, you put that little box now that you just tap the card on, or even on the screen, you just tap it. I bet you a baby could do that. That's how easy it is. It's not complicated. They have made it so easy to spend money without thinking about it. I'll put it in my card. Boop, done. We have just sacrificed all our former responsibilities or worries for convenience, privacy, accountability. We have traded that all in for speed and convenience. Boop. I bet you a baby, if you gave a baby a credit card today, they could tap it on the screen or that little thing and pay for it. A baby could do it. That's how scary it is. But we're so used to that now that the idea of change, I mean, in 15 or 20 years, it's probably going to be gone. They've stopped making the penny, right? We heard about that last year. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 15 or 20 years, there will not be a such thing as change. We'll always have paper dollars. But I don't know. And they're already saying stuff like they're you know, in a lot of bills, they round up. It's slowly but surely happening. A lot of places now will round up. If your bill is, you know, $9.98, they'll say it's $10. Oops, sorry. They'll say it's a sawbuck. Perfect example. I went to the pharmacy last week and my bill was like, you know, $6.99 or $6.98. Yeah, it was like $6.98. And the woman behind the thing asked me, this is where we're at now, folks. She asked me, and I even said, okay. She said, do you want the 2 pennies? Like, do you even want the 2 pennies? Are you going to make me go into the till to grab out these 2 pennies? Do you really need these 2 pennies? That was her attitude. Like, do you even want these pennies? These useless nuisances, they don't even make them anymore. Are you going to make me open the till for this? Do you even want these 2 pennies? And guess what I said? No. Why the hell did I do that? Why did I say no? But she sort of framed it in such a way like, ugh, okay, you already gave me this change, this money, instead of charging this. We're already in the Stone Age. We're already in a Stone Age transaction. Are you really going to want to go deeper into the Stone Age by me having to give you 2 pennies? What are you going to do with these 2 pennies? So I was like being cool. Nah, that's okay. But that's what's happening. They're either automatically rounding up or we're getting social pressure. Do you really want these 2 pennies? No, that's all right. Why did I give away 2 pennies? Now, if you know my history, you know that I oftentimes, if I used to get change back in the old days, 10 years ago, when you'd get change, I actually used to throw pennies away and nickels because it was a nuisance. That's why my jug o' change hasn't been growing all that much. I would just throw the pennies away. So you know what? Go ahead, keep them, Walgreens. But yeah, I think that I would say in 15 to 20 years, there won't be any. Don't forget, there's millions and billions of dollars of change circulating. It will still be around. But in terms of them minting it or making new ones, I would not be surprised. Once they stop making the penny, can the nickel be far away? Can the dime be far away? Can the quarter be far away? We have become so cashless. We are so tied into convenience and speed and pulling out that credit card for a dollar. I mean, people will charge a dollar to their credit card, which I think is crazy. Or a buck. See, a dollar is a buck. A five is a fin. It's all buck. But, you know, it's just crazy how we have gone from a society that was built around change. Really? Remember that Seinfeld episode where Kramer has all those pennies and the guy won't take them for the calzone? Calzone. No, you got what? You need to pay paper money. So anyway, when I started this podcast today, about an hour and 10 minutes ago, I had no intentions talking about my various relationships with change. But here we are an hour and 10 minutes later, and I don't even know if I even got into where I was going with today's supposed topic, but now I've got one for next week. So let's recap. If you get change in an envelope with your prescription, make sure you take the envelope off or remember you got the change so you don't throw it out and have to go through your garbage. The rule is anything under a double sawbuck, you don't put on your credit card. You use real money. You use paper money or change if you have it. And, of course, the big takeaway from today is the slang for the different denominations of money. $1 is a buck. $5 is a fin. $10 is a sawbuck. And $20 is a double sawbuck. I'm finished. Thanks for listening. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And of course, you can go out and tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 505. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears. And don't forget, this podcast, it didn't cost you a buck. It didn't cost you a fin. It didn't cost you a sawbuck. It didn't cost you a double sawbuck.